Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And indeed, welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. We're calling it the News Coup today because the regular crew is not here, and so the newsroom has been asked to fill in. Fred Jackson here, along with Chris Woodward. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And, of course, Steve Jordahl will be joining us in just a little bit. A busy news day while the crew is away. They're they're at a retreat over in Alabama and suffering through terrible weather, I'm sure, you know, and golf and all that good stuff.
I had a paper jam in the copier this morning.
We've just gone through a power outage here in our home base here in Tupelo, and but I think we're out of that for now, and everything was down, so people were wandering around munching on popcorn and Diet Cokes. Yeah.
So if anybody was curious, our popcorn machine is still going, even during a power outage.
Yes. So glad to be here and glad to be with you today. It is another busy news day. Chris, what's leading us off?
Yes. Something to watch, and we'll certainly be covering this throughout the day on AFN, both radio and print. President Joe Biden is set to speak by phone today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This would be the first time they've spoke that we know of, at least, since Israel launched that attack in which people upset with Israel say Israel killed seven World Central KitchenAid workers. The White House has described Biden as, quote, outraged and heartbroken by that attack. But the president is probably, you know, he needs to smooth some relations over with Netanyahu based on the fact that the U.S. Abstained from that recent vote on whether there should be a formal ceasefire there, and Netanyahu was not happy about that. So it's probably going to be a very interesting conversation between these two leaders.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Of course, a few days ago, we had the bombing, and most people believe it was by Israel, on that Iranian facility in Damascus. And that bombing took out two of their Iranian major kind of arms people. These are people who supply arms for Iran to terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas. And so Iran has threatened retaliation for that. It's been really interesting to watch the White House reaction to that. John Kirby, one of his national security spokesmen for President Biden, saying we didn't know anything about it. We weren't involved with that, and it's almost signaling to Iran, don't blame us, don't hurt us for what happened there in Damascus earlier this week. Of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu is just getting over some surgery from a couple of days ago, and now he is facing the extra pressure of demonstrations earlier this week in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and outside of his residence there in Jerusalem. And the protests are allegedly about calling for Netanyahu to go along with a ceasefire, so hopefully bringing home more of the 100 hostages still being held by the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. But Netanyahu has remained very firm. He has not changed his mind about the goal of this exercise in Hamas in Gaza, and that is to end the reign of Hamas terrorism in Gaza. He says it must never, never be allowed to take control in that area again, and he is resolute on that front. And so, Chris, you're exactly right. The conversation today between Biden and Netanyahu is going to be very interesting. Now, how much we hear about what went on in that conversation, of course, on this side of the water, it's going to be filtered through the White House. John Kirby and, you know, KJB, Karine Jean-Pierre. So we'll find out maybe a little bit about it a little bit later on. But I tell you what, Biden is under a lot of pressure domestically here. For the most part, the Democratic Party has had the support of the liberal Jewish community in this country. But the Jewish community in this country, for the most part, is still saying, United States, Biden administration, you need to stand by Israel and in their effort to get rid of the Hamas terrorists. The flip side of all of that is, of course, is that you have a large contingent of Palestinian, American Palestinians, like in Michigan, at least 100,000, 200,000 in Michigan, Rashida Tlaib amongst them, who will say, no, Israel need, or the United States needs to back away from Israel, supporting them. They're calling it a massacre in Gaza, et cetera, et cetera. So, and just the other night, the White House was ready to sponsor a kind of a Ramadan wind-down dinner, an iftar dinner, they call it. They've been doing that for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. A number of Muslim leaders in this country were invited, and they boycotted the meeting.
Yeah.
And the only Islamic people that showed up were people who work for the Biden administration. So there's a lot of political tension in this country, a lot of pressure on the Biden administration from both sides in all of this, and certainly from the evangelical community, you know, for the most part, that supports Israel, right, supports Israel's right to defend itself, and has supported Netanyahu and his war against the Hamas terrorists. But, Chris, we have a special guest a little bit later on, Jan Markell, one of the favorite programs on American Family Radio, Understanding the Times. The host of that program, Jan Markell, who is unapologetic in her support for Israel. She'll be joining us at the bottom of the clock, and she'll have more to say on this. So, a busy day on that front.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And while Joe Biden is battling situations involving Israel, he's still getting hammered over things like the economy and immigration. Mm. I say that because we have a story airing today. Rusty just aired one installment of it at the top of the hour here just a moment ago. But according to a Wall Street Journal poll, Donald Trump is leading President Joe Biden in 6 of 7 swing states. And we're talking about states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Wisconsin was an outlier, but I'll get to that in just a moment. Bottom line, Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden anywhere from 2 to 8 points in these 6 of 7 swing states here. And that doesn't bode well for an incumbent president who not that long ago urged people in a video to, quote, help me finish the job. I've got some reaction here that we can bring in from a couple of people. Let's begin with this one. It's going to be columnist Robert Knight, someone we feature a lot on AFN.net, talking with us about the Wall Street Journal poll, which again shows Trump leading Biden in 6 of 7 swing states. Clip 6.
Pump. You can't help but think this can't go on much longer if our country's to survive. And I think most Americans are disgusted with what's happened over the last 3 years. The prices really have doubled, let's face it. They say inflation's only 18% or something, but everybody knows it's far greater than that for many, many things. The open border is become a huge issue. Biden is losing the Democratic base, and this hasn't happened in a long time, and it really is foreboding for Democrats. But a lot of Americans are worried that the Democrats seem to not care.
Hmm. That's really interesting. And when Bob Knight talks about the Democratic base, mm-hmm. He's talking about the black vote, mm-hmm. which recent polling has shown has really diminished in their support for the Democrats and the Biden administration. And a lot of that has to do with the economy. Because whether skin color is no barrier to economic pressures.
Right.
And also amongst the Hispanic vote, a lot of folks don't realize that the Hispanic vote is huge percentage-wise, 20-21% of the American population. Many of those Hispanics, they're hardworking, they are pro-family. They are not all in on abortion because many of them are Roman Catholics, very strong pro-life, but also they are not in favor of what's happening at the border. A lot of people may think, well, you know, it's mostly Latino people that are coming across the southern border. That is not the case. And so they resent those who have come here to this country legally, have lived here, have built their families here, have built businesses here. I'm talking amongst the Hispanic community. They resent what's going on right now. They're upset about that. And then, of course, you have what may be surprising is that there is a shifting amongst even young people who have tended to vote a Democrat, But more and more we're seeing in the polls where the young people are moving away from the Democratic Party. Some of them are going to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mm. They find him appealing. Right. You know, Kennedy's fairly liberal on abortion. But, you know, in other areas, and I think, honestly, when we get to talking about that, more and more young people are becoming more sensitive to our economic woes. Mm-hmm. It's affecting them. And I'm talking, you know, young marrieds in their 20s, that sort of thing.
Right.
those are people who really feel the impact of this. So it's really interesting. There's another story that's out today that the Biden administration, they're hiring a bunch of new pollsters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may think, okay, wait a minute, what does that matter? Well, the pollsters are more there to try, are more political activists.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden campaign is using them as activists to go into these communities, the Black community, Hispanic community, to try to spin up more support for Biden. So that's part of the dynamic that's going on right now. But this Wall Street Journal poll from earlier this week, 6 of the 7 swing states moving towards Donald Trump. That is bad news. I was watching an interview on Fox the other day, and it was really interesting. They had a Democrat on there, as they normally they do these panels, Republican and Democrat representative. But the Democrat representative did not argue the point at all that that Biden is in trouble on the border.
Mm-hmm.
He's in trouble with the economy. And in particular, on the border crisis, this Democrat said Biden has got to do something more. They were repeating this line right now, this Democrat talking point, that, you know, it's the Republicans' fault as to what's going on at the border, because Republicans stood against this so-called bipartisan deal. No.
As if they've been in power this entire 50 years that Joe Biden has been in some sort of public office.
Yeah. Everybody understands Joe Biden removed the protections that Donald Trump had put in place when he was president.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that Joe Biden did was remove all of those by executive order. First day in office, he removed all of those, and that's when the invasion began. Joe Biden, when he was running for president,
mm-hmm.
What did he say? I'll invite a surge
right.
at the border. Need to keep reminding people of that. So.
Yeah.
He is reaping what, I'm talking about Biden, he is reaping what he has sown.
Now, again, these 6 of the 7 states here, Trump is leading Biden in these swing states. I mentioned Wisconsin was one outlier, but it's like a bare lead. He's barely beating Trump there in Wisconsin, and that's only when there's like a multiple candidate race. Wall Street Journal actually narrowed it down and asked voters, okay, what if it's just Trump and Biden? And in that situation, it's tied. So you might as well say Trump's doing very well in all the swing states that he's going to need to help beat Joe Biden and get back in the White House. We talked to Gary Bauer about this yesterday as well, and there has been a lot of criticism of Trump saying, well, he's going to lose the suburban woman vote. And Gary did say, yeah, he's probably going to lose some suburban women, but he's gaining people in other demographics here. Therefore, Gary is not concerned at all, and he actually thinks Trump is the he's said as much for a number of months now, that Trump is the one out of all the candidates that ran this year that can actually beat Biden. And don't take my word for it. Let's do clip 4.
I have believed all along that the only possible Republican nominee this year that could win was in fact Donald Trump. And the reason I say that is that Donald Trump does lose some suburban women, but he also brings countless working-class Americans of all races to his banner. And I've not seen any evidence that any other Republican that competed against him can do the same thing. So when people say, if we could only get rid of Trump, then we'd be able to win, you know, I think it's the exact opposite.
Okay. Now, you know, some people might hear this and go, well, these are a couple of boomers talking about Trump. Of course they would say this. You know, they're more in line with Trump than they are with Joe Biden. But even young people, and I have one example here, it's Kaylee McGee White. She works for a number of publications, including DC Examiner. She was on Fox and Friends First today. This audio is going to begin with Fox and Friends First personality Carly Shimkus asking Kaylee McGee White about Biden's polling problems, and you'll hear it from there. Let's do clip five.
At this moment, under this president, the mix of Black, Latino, and young voters who have been crucial to electing Democrat candidates are withholding support from Biden or shifting towards Donald Trump, a trend particularly dramatic among men. By contrast, it is hard to find a group where Biden is improving on his standing from the 2020 election. I am sure many people, including the Biden campaign, would love to know why this is happening and how seriously we should be taking these numbers 7 months out. So what do you think about this?
Right. And what these numbers really do confirm is that there is no Biden comeback. He's not bouncing back in the polls. He just continues to drag further and further behind Trump, in large part because of those key demographics you just mentioned. I'm particularly interested in watching what's happening with the young adults vote, people my age. And it's remarkable to see this massive shift where you see so many young people fleeing the Democratic Party in droves. And keep in mind, this is a demographic that turned out overwhelmingly for Biden back in 2020.
You know, I just thinking this is a presidential election year like none other.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the last one. Yeah. So yeah.
You have the Republican, Donald Trump, facing, what is it, 91 total felony charges, mm-hmm, in four different jurisdictions. So he is, when he's not in court, he's out campaigning. When he's not campaigning, he's in court. And so you've got all of that going on, which I think it is a fair assessment to say, in some strange, bizarre way, the more the judicial system goes after Donald Trump, his numbers improve. Mm-hmm. There is, and you can say that's sympathy, that's anger, that's a realization that we have a justice system that seems to be out to get one political candidate. And now you also have the dynamic of Biden's border crisis. You talk about the swing states. Trump goes to Michigan and to Wisconsin the other day. Mm-hmm. And what does he talk about? He talks about the border in Michigan, way up there in the north.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because the border crisis has moved north. Mm-hmm. People, when he was stood in a podium in Michigan the other day, he had these sheriffs, he had these police chiefs in full uniform behind him, mm-hmm, clapping as he talked about what's going on in the southern border and blaming, rightly so, Joe Biden for what's going on down there. In fact, Trump, he coined the phrase Biden's border bloodbath or something along that nature. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear that over and over and over again. So the border crisis is not just affecting Texas and Florida. It's now affecting the whole nation. You now have Democrats in New York, in Chicago, who are upset because of these migrants that are, they're called migrants, illegal immigrants that are being arriving in New York in huge numbers by the thousands, Chicago. And now we have this story out of Chicago. So Democrats are concerned about that. But now you have Democrat mom and dads. Mm. You have the news this morning that there's been an uptick in tuberculosis and measles being diagnosed amongst a lot of these young people who are going to public schools. They weren't checked for these diseases when they came into this country. And now they're spreading amongst other students in public schools, especially the stories out of Chicago this morning. So this just continues to build against Biden.
Yeah, to your point about the concerns of migrants possibly having tuberculosis, maybe measles, I've got some audio here of Chicago Alderman Raymond Lopez talking to Fox and Friends about how illegal immigration has also become a public health concern. Clip 10.
Without question, we have seen where efforts by this administration to put migrants on a toxic dump site were labeled as racist when people like myself and community opposed it, saying it wasn't healthy for them or for the neighborhood to have all of that dust kicked up. Even when I brought this issue about tuberculosis, measles, and mumps to the forefront, I've been told that I'm anti-immigrant and xenophobic, even though I'm the great-grandson of immigrants. So they could gaslight all they want, but at a certain point, the truth is going to come out, and we're seeing it come out slowly and steadily now, as we saw with the measles and as we're seeing now with tuberculosis.
Well, again, I'm going to use the phrase, Biden is reaping what he has sown. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem. Even though the mainstream media is still on his side, most of the stories coming out of the mainstream media for Biden is still White House press releases. That's what the stories read like. Mm-hmm. But the American people have gotten on to this. I think the American people overall understand that the future of this country is at stake, and they're very concerned. Given what Biden has given them over the last 3.5 years, they're very concerned with what another term. And we haven't even talked about Biden's mental state.
No.
We haven't even done a story on that lately. Yeah. And I hear it very rarely anymore because there's just so many other things that are coming up that make the Biden administration look pretty bad.
Yeah. As someone that's worked in broadcasting for 22 years and others here have been longer in the business than I have, I can tell you there's only so much time in a day, and you only have so much time in a newscast, and you have to pick and choose what we're going to be able to cover today. To your point about the media trying to spin things for Joe Biden and in his favor, the Associated Press has long been an ally of the Democratic Party, and they love some Joe Biden. One example of that was just this week. This is the beginning of the story, talking about Trump's Biden border bloodbath comment. Mm. The Associated Press, which is a news outlet everybody and their brother runs somehow, some way, on broadcast and in print. This is the beginning of their story. Donald Trump has again used language denounced by Democrats to hammer President Joe Biden. I wonder where you are on this issue, Associated Press.
Oh, I know. It's just ridiculous when you read, We have a contract for the Associated Press. They are the world's biggest provider of news. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we have the right to edit their content, and we do our best to edit out their liberal leanings. I'm just amazed, as a person that's been in the journalism business for many decades now, I would feel guilty if I worked for the Associated Press and I was being told, this is the way you have to write this mm-hmm. story. You have to put a positive spin in favor of the Democrats, and you have to do everything possible to denounce anything that Donald Trump says. That's where the journalism is in this country right now.
Yeah, it's a wing of the Democratic Party. Yeah. They are an extension of the White House press briefing room. And just to give you an idea of how far-reaching and how much they reach people, because everybody, particularly small television stations and newspapers that just what we call rip and read. They literally say or print whatever the Associated Press says. That's why a lot of people go, oh, okay, well, it must be that way, because that's, thus saith the AP, yeah, as if it's the Gospel of John or something like that.
Well, you saw what happened at NBC the other day when they hired Ronna McDaniel, former chair of the RNC, the mm-hmm. Republican National Committee. There was an open revolt on the air.
Chuck Todd, they owe you an apology.
For hiring this former RNC, like the major networks, they don't have any trouble hiring former Democrats. Look at ABC, mm-hmm. George Stephanopoulos and others, Jen Psaki at NBC, former Democrat, Biden White House spokesperson. Mm-hmm. They have no problems with that, but they hire Ronna McDaniel to give another side of this political story. And as I say, there was an open rebellion, so much so, I think they were going to pay her $300,000, mm-hmm. so much so that they fired her within days.
Yeah.
It's amazing what goes on. Folks, there's a reason why you have American Family Radio, American Family Radio News. Brother Don, many years ago, said, you know what? He saw what was coming down the track in the level of bias in the mainstream media, and that is why American Family Radio was created, and God has blessed it greatly. All right, you're listening to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred here with Chris. Steve Jordahl will join us in a little bit. And after the break, we will hear from Jan Markell of Understanding the Times, her take of what's going on in the Middle East, but also what's going on within evangelical Christianity with regards to hesitancy about talking about prophecy.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, welcome back to Today's Issues. Fred Jackson here, along with Chris Woodward. We're sitting in today for Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano as they are away at an AFA retreat today, enjoying, I'm sure, a good time with many of our supporters. But good to be with you today, and so much going on. You know, we were talking earlier about supposedly that President Biden is going to have a conversation with Prime Minister Netanyahu today. And boy, I wish I could listen in on that, but we can't. But perhaps someone who can speculate a little bit about the tenor of that conversation is our good friend Jan Markell from Understanding the Times, one of our favorite programs here at American Family Radio, heard on Saturday at 1 p.m. Central, and then again on Sunday at noon Central here in American Family Radio. Jan, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Fred. Glad to be here.
Good to have you with us. Well, I have to do the obligatory thing. I have to check on you as how the weather is going. You know, has spring arrived?
Oh, Fred, it's been the most bizarre winter, warm all winter, and then 2 weeks ago, everything got bitter cold, and my little pond froze, which it hadn't, and my ducks were so confused, and now, finally, we have spring, but it took a long time.
It took a long time to get there, but you have, you know, for Minneapolis, you've had a fairly warm winter.
Yes, it's been great. We had a terribly bitter cold in the last 2 weeks, and as I said, things froze all of a sudden again, so I think nature is confused. I mean, my wildlife are confused.
Yeah. Your ducks survived, did they?
They survived, yes.
we're glad.
They're amazing.
They're amazing. Hey, listen, I was just mentioning about this phone call today between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu. I'm afraid from what we've seen, we're now about 6 months since the Hamas massacre of more than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. And, you know, the initial support for Israel was strong, but we have seen that deteriorate, especially in the last couple of months, Jan.
In a shocking way. And I think it goes even beyond that, Fred, because not only did the support deteriorate, but the loyalty seemed to switch to the barbarians of the world, Hamas and Islamic Jihad and those that perpetrated the atrocity. They suddenly were getting support as day by day Israel would lose support. And that was based on images coming out of Gaza. And war is a terrible, terrible ordeal, to be sure. But if people had seen, and if I could be, well, I won't be graphic, but if people could have seen the images coming out of the kibbutzim in the south of Israel, they would have understood why there had to be bloodshed going into Gaza to get rid of these barbarians.
Jan, I don't sense that even though Netanyahu, he's facing now protests in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, outside his residence in Jerusalem, I don't see him moving away from his resolve to finally end the Hamas rule in Gaza. Are you seeing anything differently there?
I don't see that happening, and that's one of the reasons why Benjamin Netanyahu is the longest-serving prime minister in Israel's history, spanning a couple of decades, interrupted here and there, but they keep reelecting him because they know he's a fighter. He's not going to let the country be steamrolled, including by Mr. Biden, who wants to punish them for trying to defend themselves. The tension is getting to be unbearable, and Biden has been just, clenching his teeth and grinding them here for 6 months and trying to pretend he's a friend of Israel when he really isn't. But poor Netanyahu, he's got a terrible situation on his hands, trying to protect his people, and the nations of the world don't want him to.
Hey, it's Chris here. I've got a question for you. Besides AFN.net, of course, where are some news outlets that you turn to for accurate information on the war between Israel and Hamas? Because, I don't want to sound like a cynical person, but I don't believe everything I see out of an American news outlet's coverage.
You've got to keep in mind that the Israeli media is every bit as leftist as the American media. And so, is there a very accurate source of news, for instance, Times of Israel? It's going to lean left. Jerusalem Post will lean left. Haaretz will be hard left. It's just really, really hard. There's some Christian places that people can consult. Certainly Joel Rosenberg's outfit, his online newspaper is All Israel News, All Israel News. And Joel is the editor and the publisher. I think that is the most accurate, certainly the most biblical. And I think they just do it's a daily online, and I think you can go read it. Mm-hmm. If you sign up for it, you get it in your inbox once and sometimes twice a day. And I think you can go to probably allisraelnews.com. I haven't done that because I get it in my inbox. That would be what I would recommend, Chris.
Yeah. One more thing on developments in the last week in the Middle East. We had the bombing of the Iranian consulate there in Damascus.
Yeah.
Damascus, Syria are biblical names. And I had somebody ask me the other day of the prophetical significance of the war now moving into Damascus. And the Iranians are saying, hey, Israel, just wait. We are going to retaliate. Your read on that?
Well, first, there's the obliteration of Damascus is found in Isaiah 17, and that's a last days implication there, Isaiah 17. Supposedly it's going to be kind of leveled, and the ones I'm sure who would do it, it would probably be in a situation like we're looking at now, would be Israel. I can't imagine who else would, although I guess Russia could suddenly turn on Syria and possibly level Damascus. I can't believe she'd do that, but she's leveled other cities in Syria. As for Iran, we know that that's Persia in the Bible, and we know that Persia plays a huge role in the Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38-39. And so when we hear, Fred, that Israel is going to Israel took out some personnel in Syria that were part of Iran, and now Iran's going to retaliate. And then if Iran retaliates, Israel is going to have to probably strike Iran somewhere, maybe not just for proxies, but actually strike into Iran. But we know Iran is not going away, and we know that because she's got to be there for Gog and Magog, which is future. So there could be this kind of going back and forth here with some skirmishes, but I don't think anybody's going to drop an atomic bomb on anybody at this point in time. I really don't.
Your program, Understanding the Times, here at American Family Radio, you deal with prophecy and you look at the day's news through the lens of Scripture and what all of this means. You wrote an article recently and you titled it Under Siege. And I was taken by that, and I had some speculation when I read the title, but then I read the article, and you're talking not so much about under siege from the unsaved world. You're talking about the teachers of Bible prophecy seem to be under siege in this country.
Right. Absolutely, as is the theology behind it. And that's for, you know, a dozen reasons that, you know, require a whole nother program. But, I mean, in a sentence or two, the pulpits are pretty silent on this topic. I think now, of course, I mean, there are certainly some very prophecy-friendly churches and pulpits. They are a vast minority, but we're thankful for them. I think because pastors probably see it, the whole topic of, let's just call it end times, Fred, perhaps as a bit doom and gloom, which if we believe King is coming for us, that's not really doom and gloom, but it's perceived as that. Mm-hmm. I think they feel, you know, it won't fill the pews, it won't be seeker sensitive, it might not be, it just won't fill the pews or the offering place, and so they're a little bit skittish. And then I think a very justified reason for their skepticism is that some people have given the topic a horrible name. You remember Harold Camping some 10, 12, 13 years ago, and everything was, he was date setting, and my goodness, people were following him diligently and losing everything they had because of his nuttiness, and who wants to be identified with people like that? So they run from that, and rightfully so, but not to run from the whole topic, and that's what's been happening in the church for probably 30 years now.
You know, I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah the other day, his program,
yes.
Turning Point, and in his message, his series of messages he's doing right now, he brought up the fact that he often hears from people, Jan, from churches who have never heard from their pulpit a series on the Book of Revelation. They said that they've been attending churches for years, and their pastor has never touched the Book of Revelation. But you know, the Book of Revelation, yes, it deals with God's wrath, but it also tells the end of the story. Christians, Jesus is returning, and Christians are going to be victorious with Him.
Well, exactly. I mean, first it outlines the millennium, the thousand-year reign of, we reign with the Lord Jesus here on earth, and then we move on to the new heavens and the new earth where we finally get rid of all the suffering and the sorrow and the heartache and the illnesses and everything. So we've got some glorified days up ahead of us, absolutely.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, it's Chris again. I've asked you this question before, but it has been a very long time ago. And I think because we're talking about Revelation, it's a good time to bring it back for people that might not remember this. I have heard over the course of my life statements from some people that cast doubt on Revelation going, well, you know, he was in isolation when he wrote that, as if it shouldn't be taken for granted or it shouldn't be part of the Bible. Why do you consider Revelation to be important and part of God's Holy Bible?
Well, it's part of the 66 books. John wrote it. He was kind of an outcast on an island somewhere, but my goodness, this is the bookend of the Bible. We've got Genesis and Revelation as the bookends, and look at the significant content. Genesis spells out the absolute beginning. Revelation spells out the absolute end, and why would anybody not want to understand how God's going to wrap things up? There's got to be an explanation. We don't go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Nothing does. But God's got it all outlined in a perfect design for the end of the age, then first the end of the church age with the rapture, and then there's some years to follow that, followed by the millennium, but followed by not just heaven on earth, which could be considered the millennium, but eternity with, as I said, without sorrow, without tears, without sickness, with reunions. You know, I think of those that have gone on before me, including my parents. I can't wait to see them again. Well, how many people of other faiths, we won't get into naming the other faiths, but how many have no hope of any kind of eternal perspective? For who knows? I mean, maybe the Hindu is sort of has reincarnation and things like that, but we are going to see our loved ones again. We're going to know them. We're going to be sitting around probably a big table having a coffee and tea, and, you know, I mean, it's going to be a glorious time. I can't wait.
Yeah,
and we won't have to be on a diet.
Exactly, which I'm on, yes.
Hey, Jan, what you got coming up on your program this weekend?
I got Alex Newman coming up, and that's because he's going to be our speaker for Understanding the Times Thursday night, April the 11th, and they can consult my website. It's a one-night Understanding the Times conference here in Minneapolis. No cost. You can live stream it. We give you all the instructions at my website. So we hope we'll meet. We hear from tons of your folks, Fred. We really do, and it's a joy to always hear from them. So even better when we can meet them.
Jan, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Your program, Understanding the Times, at 1 o'clock Central on Saturday, noon Central on Sunday, one of the most popular here on American Family Radio. We thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Fred and Chris. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Take care. And her program is indeed. I've been to a couple of her earlier conferences when she had major national conferences. She had 6,000 people come out for a weekend. One of our listeners, AFR listeners, was doing a tour here in our headquarters the other day, and a young lady, and she says she just takes all in this prophecy right now, because as Christians, we have got to understand God is still in control. That's number one. And that he is not bound by time like we are. God is outside of time. He from the beginning until the end. And why churches would not in this day and age, when there's so much chaos, mm-hmm. we deal with that chaos every day here on American Family Radio, why pastors would not go into the book of Revelation, Daniel, whatever the case may be, and say, hey, you know, there's an end to this.
Yes. It would be a perfect thing for if a pastor didn't feel led to do it on a Sunday morning, certainly a smaller, more intimate setting for a Sunday night or a Wednesday night prayer meeting, a Bible study, mm-hmm. open up the book of Revelation. But also, I'll tell you this, for people like myself that read it and like, what in the world is he talking about here?
Yes.
There are a number of pastors that do have books that kind of walk you through it. Dr. David Jeremiah has one, Dr. Robert Jeffress as well. I know for a fact that Alex and Bert do cover Revelation from time to time on Exploring the Word, and our own Ray Pritchard is happy to answer questions on this topic, too, when we are blessed to have him on today's issues.
Yeah, another couple of authors, Dr. Ron Rhodes and also Dr. Mark Hitchcock, have written on this extensively. So I would invite you, if you can find books by these authors, they are great, because I think now more than ever, Christians should be studying and reading and find someone who has some knowledge about. There's a lot of imagery that's in the book of Revelation, but it, as Jan says, it tells the end of the story. It talks about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth after the 7 years of tribulation, and then the new heaven and the new earth. It only gets better.
Yeah.
And so we're just called upon to be, what has Brother Don said through the years, our founder, we're called upon to be faithful.
Right. Well, you know, some people will say, well, I just don't have the time. Well, Jesus made time for you when he went to the cross. So
Amen.
Spare a few minutes.
Amen.
The amount of time it takes you to stream an episode of something or watch a film, you can knock out some good Bible study.
Amen.
And read one of those other books, too, to help you kind of understand or have a better idea of what exactly is going on there. Because I'm no expert, but I do read it, and I'm like candlesticks and lamps and dragons and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it is difficult to understand, but it's our job to study Scripture. Scripture actually tells us to study, so
no,
we should do that.
And I often, we were talking about that some Christians say, I've never heard a study done on the book of Revelation. It's kind of like getting a John Grisham novel and saying, I'm going to read two-thirds of this, but you know what? I don't care about how the book ends. When's the last time you would hear somebody say that about a novel that they're reading?
Yeah.
No. The 66 books of the Bible are a completion. Mm-hmm. It's God's gift to us. His word is his gift to us. And I get encouraged when I read the end of the story. It puts everything in perspective. All right, we got a few minutes left.
Yes.
Another story there, Chris?
Well, we from time to time on AFN cover the issue of squatting. And when I say squatting, we're talking about people that show up and just decide to live on a piece of property without paying the owner of that property rent or something in exchange for their being allowed to live there. And this is not just happening in liberal areas, although it does happen there pretty frequently, liberal areas being California, Illinois, New York. But even in red state Texas, we've got an example out of San Antonio, home of the Alamo, victory or death, where I've got a couple of homeowners here, Judith Matthews and Abram Mendez. They were talking to Fox today about squatters taking over their San Antonio home, clip 7.
We called the police and we didn't get any help from them. Instead, the police told him that he has the right to stay in the property, and the police considered him as a resident and didn't give us any help.
Well, we went to the constable's office because our county has a constable. They explained to us the right to tell to the police that is a trespassing matter. We explained the law, the letter, and how to enforce it, and yet the police did not want to do anything.
To serve and protect.
Oh, this whole story, like you say, of squatting has really come to the forefront. Mm-hmm. Some of it involves illegals finding a resident somewhere. Remember there was the video just a few weeks ago of this guy from Venezuela, mm-hmm. who was in the country, and he was encouraging people to go out and find empty houses and take them over.
Yeah.
Because there are jurisdictions in the country that say the person that's in the house has more rights than the owner of the house.
Right.
And this is this particular case in San Antonio. This young couple, they have this house. They purchase this house. And they have a friend who says, I know someone who can come in and do the renovations that are required before you move in. So they allow this person to go in and to do work, but he moves his partner, wife, whoever it is, in with him. This has been about a month now, and they are refusing to move. They're wrecking the house inside, but they are refusing. And like this dear couple has said, they go to the authorities, and the authorities tell them, well, according to this statute or this bylaw that's in this town, we can't do anything about it. Can you imagine? You own the house. You may be paying the mortgage on it, but the city says we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Now, Florida was in the news a couple of weeks ago because Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill eliminating squatters' rights in the state of Florida. He said, we're not doing this. We're not Illinois. We're not New York. It's not going to happen in Florida. At the time, I called Jenna Ellis because while she works for us and she has a show on AFR.net, shameless plug, she also lives in Florida. And so she was very pleased with her governor. And I remember one of the things that she told me, I don't have this audio, but she told me that, you know, saying squatters' rights is like saying robbers' rights. There is no such thing. And she went on to say that every governor, every red state governor especially, should follow in Ron DeSantis's lead and do away with squatters' rights, even if a city says, well, we're going to do it. So, you know, this is probably not the last time that we're going to hear of this. But even the Venezuelan that was squatting and encouraging others to do that, he was doing it with TikTok. So there's another reason why some people don't like TikTok and want to do away with it, because people are using it for no good.
Yeah. We only got a couple of minutes left. Got a short story for us.
Speaking of Florida, I want to squeeze in this one last soundbite, time permitting. Attorney General Ashley Moody was on Fox and Friends earlier today, and she was saying that Florida, you know, they don't put up with a lot of the woke stuff here. It's not just Ron DeSantis in the news for saying things like this. It's Attorney General Ashley Moody, and she said, we have the most pro-law enforcement state. Clip 9.
Florida has identified where we have gone the other way from some of these states and cities, and it really boils down to topics that you'll go, oh yeah, that happened here, and it's defunding the police, decriminalizing crime from theft to legalizing drugs, rogue prosecutors, revolving jailhouse door, you know, letting everybody out, no cash bail, holding juveniles accountable, and finally, and you saw the clip from yesterday, supporting vocally, strenuously our law enforcement men and women. And that's why folks are moving here. That's why officers are relocating here. I said yesterday, we have a waiting list on some of our training programs to certify out-of-state officers as Florida heroes. And so what we wanted to show is Florida has figured out the equation here. If you stay clear on these six things, we can not only show you're a safer community, a more secure community, but we can show you the real economic impact and stability.
You know, it's almost, you know, she names those six things, I think she said. It's just common sense stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and people want to get back to some common sense laws. They want to get back to a city government, a state government that is there to protect them, not to curtail their normal activities. And that's why Florida, Texas, and several other states are seeing such an influx in folks.
So what you're saying is we need to make common sense again.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'm going to put that on a red cap.
Well, but you know, as Tim Wildman, our president, often says and host of this program, you know what? The other thing that makes you scratch your head, folks in New York keep putting these liberal politicians into power.
Get what you vote for.
Yeah, and you get what you vote for. And hopefully, more and more Americans are waking up, because wokeness is only going to drive a state into the ground. And if you keep allowing these politicians these kinds of policies, they're only going to make your life miserable. And wouldn't it be nice just to change your home turf and instead of having to move somewhere else to get some freedoms back? All right, that's the first hour of Today's Issues for today. We're back with more right after the news. Don't go away.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.